For all of us, someday there will come a time where the kind of positive thinking that we often fall back on, the be encouraged, Jesus loves you, God has a beautiful plan for your life, words that most of the time are just good advice and good encouragement to give one another, those encouragements based on what you're experiencing, they'll fall flat. They'll seem completely empty. There will be a day. I pray those days are few, and I pray that they are a long time from now. But there will be a day. It'll be in the middle of the night, and like I have journeyed with people where, and there's a stillborn child, and you're holding the infant in your arms, and you're saying, why? Person on the table who's just experienced cardiac arrest, why? The cancer, God, why? And on that day, whether it's like this exactly or not, there'll be kind of two voices. One that will say, you should just let God have it. Just tell him off. Just tell him how angry you are. Give it to him. And there'll be another voice that says, no, don't do that. God would never allow something like this to happen. He's good all the time. And we can't be angry with God. And I'm here to tell you that it's actually the first voice that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. The one that says, let God have it. Because sometimes it seems as counterintuitive as it might be. This idea that sometimes we just need to scream at God. Sometimes we just need to yell. Sometimes we just need to say, God, where are you? When all we experience is silence, there will be a day. There will be a day. And one of the beautiful things about the Psalms, this collection of songs that are right in the center of the Scriptures, and today we're going to be, you heard words actually from Psalm 42. Or read words, I should say, from Psalm 42 in the video. Today we're going to be in Psalm 6. These songs of faith, these beautiful words of poetry and song that help us to maintain some sort of relationship with God, even in really awful, really traumatic, really terrible, terrible situations. And today, this is kind of a hard message if you're a preacher, because, like, you know, every week I want to be inspiring. I want you to be like, how do I apply this to my life today? And chances are, you're not going to apply this to your life today. Chances are, I hope not. Maybe for somebody it is. But as we go through the message and go through this text, I'd like you to be thinking about, who do I need to remember this for? Because I guarantee you there is somebody in your circle of relationships that is or is about to go through something this dark and something so traumatic, and to experience the silence of God so profoundly that they're going to have no idea how to relate to it from a perspective of faith. And their emotional and spiritual survival depends on you knowing this and them knowing this. Because you and I have both experienced people who they hit those, it's like they hit the wall. You know, some awful, awful, awful thing happens. And they come to the conclusion that, well, either there is something wrong with me, because what did I do to deserve this? You know, I have done some absolutely awful thing, but they have no idea what it is. God is punishing me, and I just don't know how or why. Or They think there must be something wrong with God. Because if God was really good, he would never allow this to happen. If God was really with me, I would never, ever feel this way. So I urge you to open up your Bibles. We're going to be in Psalm 6. And we're going to be reading through it. And then I just want to highlight a few things from it. And again, as we do, I'd like you to be thinking about who needs to hear this word today. And maybe that person is you. Maybe it's you. So David writes, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I'm worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. You know, about half of the Psalms are what's called imprecatory psalms. They're psalms of distress. They're psalms of God, something is wrong with this world. And in all of the lament psalms, we see four things. So this can be a little teaching moment. Just hang with me here, okay? You might even want to take notes if you like. The first thing you see in every lament psalm, in some form or another, is what theologians call the address. Who is the psalm written to? Who are they addressing? God. Very good. And it's on the screen, which helps. The first word of the psalm is Lord, right? Lord, Lord. Now, because here's the thing. Here's the thing. When we're in a time of real stress, of real pain, of real heartache, is we think we cannot take it to God. And nothing could be further from the truth. Even when God is silent, even when we can't understand what's going on, God invites us to take it to him. He invites us to let him have it. In every sense of that word. To let him have it. The second thing that we see, it's what's called the complaint. And in Psalm 6, we see this in part, but here's the part that I hope we can walk away with, is that the complaint is given in detail. Like, for example, it says in verse 6, I am worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. It's addressed in detail. In detail. This is the problem, God. God, this is what's going on. Lord, this is how I am feeling. If you want to see a masterclass in lament, there's actually a book in the Bible. If you turn to the right in your Bible, about five books, a book called Lamentations. We're not going to go there necessarily today. But one of the things that's interesting in the book of Lamentations is that a number of the chapters are there an acrostic poem, starting with consecutive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and every single verse is coming off of another letter. It's almost as if, you know, right within the scriptures it's saying, okay, be as detailed as you can be about the hurt. Under A, all the things I've been hurt by, under A is atrocious, you know, and B is, like, you're starting to list all of those things, to list it out in detail. Can I see your eyes for a second? Okay. Faith does not sweep hurt under the rug. Faith does not say, oh, forget about it. You know, that works for trivial things and it works in New York. Forget about it. It does not work for faith. Anytime there is reconciliation and there is a forgiving of debt of sorts, this is the hurt against me. This is what you owe me. And in the case of a lament psalm, it's not necessarily that God requires forgiveness, but to a certain degree, emotionally, that's what's going on. It's listed in detail. Every time there is reconciliation, true reconciliation, the wrong is listed in detail. All of it is laid out. We'll be looking at this more next week when we look at the Psalms of anger and what they teach us about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying, oh, forget about it. Forgive and forget, that's terrible advice. Or it only works with trivial matters. Forgiveness is listing the pain in detail, getting it all on the table, getting it all out so that all of it can be dealt with. The complaint happens in detail. Third thing that happens in every one of them, there's a request. So, for example, in the Psalms, we see verse 8. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. Away from me, all you who do evil. What do I want? I want the bad guys to go away. We're encouraged to tell God exactly what we want. God, this is what's wrong. This in detail, this is how I'm feeling, and this is what I'm asking you to do. Why can't you make the bad guys go away? And finally, fourth one, it's an expression of trust. Oftentimes we think that we can't praise God when things are bad. We can't praise God when we're feeling awful. We can't praise God when we're in times of depression. The Psalms remind us that that's exactly when we're called to praise God. Lord, I can't see you. I can't feel you. I'm pretty sure you've let me down. I don't understand anything that's going on here. And yet, I want to place my trust in you. So one of the things I hope we can take away from this too is, in order for us to express that, in order to be able to speak to God in times of silence, in times where God is it seems is dark, and the eyes of faith cannot see it, is that we have something to push against, that we have some life experience that is able to anchor us into the bigger picture of who God is. So that we can somehow hang on in the dark chapter in the story in which we are. That's why it's so important, those regular, everyday, just mundane habits of opening up God's Word, allowing God's Word to speak to you on the good days, of building Christian friendships on the good days, of being in a pattern and lifestyle of worship on the good days, so that on the days when you're in such a dark place you can't reach out to anybody, where you the idea of gathering with others in worship is just overwhelming because you're in such a deep hole. When you can't sense the Spirit anywhere close by, when nothing makes sense, that you have something to push against. It's a little bit like saying, God, I know you're not really like this. So why is this happening? You hear that in the Psalms. God, I know that you're good. So why is everything I'm experiencing so evil? God, I know that you are merciful. So why does it feel like I'm experiencing punishment right now? God, I know that you love me. So why does it feel? Why does it feel like your love is absent? That we pursue health so that we have perspective for those times when the circumstances of life overwhelm our capacity to see God. An address, a complaint, a request, and an expression of trust. I'd like you to hear a quick story about how lament can be this incredibly freeing thing. I was talking earlier this week with Pastor Adam. I'm not going to share his story for him, but would you come up and talk about how in a time where faith was more challenged and more difficult, that, I'm wondering about that too. Steps? So hide the mic day. Okay, that's good, that's good. Who's playing the hide the mic game? All right, okay.
So when I first arrived at seminary, I was in a pretty rough place in life. I just wasn't doing very well. And I read a book about an issue that's near and dear to my heart, which is human trafficking, and I had read it already in a bad place, and I went into an even worse place. And I had been struggling, and finally I decided to go to talk to one of my seminary professors, and a man named Richard Carlson. And I walked into his office and I said, "Richard, I'm scared. I'm struggling with something, and it scares me even more than saying God's not real." And he looked at me and he said, "Okay, what is it?" And I said, I don't believe that God is good. I don't believe that God is good." And Richard said, "Okay, let me show you something." And he opened up to the Psalms of Lament. And he said, "Neither did these people." And he showed me that there was a whole book of the Bible, Lamentations, and also plenty of Psalms, where people were expressing that same emotion, and that it was okay. And it gave me the freedom to say, "Okay, I can be mad, and I can push through it."
Yeah. Thanks, Adam. So here's what I'd like us to do today. If there's somebody in your mind, they're saying, "This, gosh, I wish somebody could hear, I could hear this message," or know that with the doubt that they're experiencing today and the pain that they're experiencing today, that it's okay. That God nonetheless is there, and that there are ways to talk to God in the midst of pain. I'd like you to bring that person to mind. And us to take some time to pray for that person. We're not going to pray out loud necessarily. And then I just want to read the Psalms, this Psalm 6, one more time. And allow these words and these ideas to anchor themselves in our hearts. Because today we might be praying for that other person. But someday, someone will be praying that prayer for us. One day, you'll be there. One day, I'll be there. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you even in times where you appear silent. Thank you that we can trust you even when, from our eyes, what you're allowing in this world would indicate that you are not good. Lord, we pray that you would anchor our faith in a larger, more lasting truth that allows us to endure those dark chapters. And Lord, right now, we lift up to you, just silently or under our breath, someone we know that is in that kind of a place of doubt and darkness. And Lord, I pray for anybody here today who, if they're being really honest, just needs to lift up their own name. God, thank you that you meet us, even in our anger, even in our pain, that you encourage us to let you have it. We pray these things in the merciful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's hear this psalm one more time. Lord, Do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in anguish. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out with my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. The word of the Lord.